Well, thank you. I'm Lila Ree.
And I'm Nick B.
All right. And welcome to Dirty Roses Podcast. Yes. Okay. All right. We're going to clap for ourselves. Yes.
Yes. Oh, right. Lovely tonight. Y'all look so
welcome
lovely.
To our live event. We're excited.
We are so excited to be here. So we started this podcast. Basically, it was a series. I started taking my friends' dating stories. I was married for a very long time. And so I lived vicariously through all of my friends, and they shared all their dating stories with me. And when I say all my friends, it was mostly this one right here. So I started to put together like a little book that I'm actually writing of short stories about all the dating stories. And I was like, we're gonna call it Dirty Roses because we're from the city of Portland, you know, city of roses. And dating and love life and all those things, it can get a little dirty. So, you know, that's where Dirty Roses come from. I know y'all probably think it has something to do with the other rose that's very popular. And we'll run with that double entendre if y'all want to. But yeah, so welcome. We talk about everything love, lust, and perception. Nick B, you got anything to add?
Yeah, no, just that we are ready to dive in. We've got some great topics. I don't know if anyone has had a chance to stream our services, but on your chairs.
Most of the chairs here. Stream our show. We don't stream our show on multiple streaming.
We
ain't giving out services now. Hold on. we put that rose to use in a second.
But there is a QR code on most of your seats. And if it's not there, we'll make sure we get it to you by the end of our podcast today.
Hey, all right. Well, today, what we do is we start every show with a part of one of our stories, and that's how we arrive at our topics. So I will share a story. It's really like in general, like I was married for a long time, no longer married, but and my friend here habitually dating.
I'm a habitual dater, evidently.
Yes, that's the new phrase that we have coined. Yeah. So with that being said, you know, we have different we have experienced different stages of relationships. And so our goal today is to kind of have people on here that are at these different stages, whether you're single, divorced, where you're relatively newly married, when you've been married for a while. You know, we got some good wisdom and some good jewels that we're going to be dropping today. And so we're going to introduce our guests, and we'll start with my gentleman friend here, Mr. Single, ladies, just in case y'all are wondering.
Mr. Single.
It's Kevin. My name is Kevin.
My name is Doris.
I'm Tish.
I'm James.
All right. And so I'm going to allow my guests to tell their quick story about why they are up here. So, and the level of the stage of relationships that they are currently in. So, Kev.
Oh, dang. It's on the spot already. All right. I'm just here so I won't get fined. I'm scared of Lee. Lee tell me what to do, and I just kind of do it. So that's
he calls me shook for a reason.
So I'm just trying to keep within my contract. Where I'm at the stage of the dating, of the dating record. Stage. I'm single.
And that's it. I'm single. All right, Miss Doris.
I am married 14 years.
14?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I want to hear a little bit about your story. I do.
Okay. What? Well,
hear how? I'm Can y'all hear her?
Can you hear me? Okay. How I met my husband?
Yeah, how you met your husband?
I'm sorry, I get tickled.
Mr. Island Man. See, that's what you want. You want a relationship where you get tickled. When
I've been tickled, that's why I'm still single.
I want to get tickled.
Somebody come tickle me, please.
Please. Oh. Okay, Elmo. All right.
I need some tickle.
Go ahead, Ms. Doris.
Okay, first, my husband is from Belize City. I used to live on the corner of 54th and Killingsworth. And me and my girl cousins, we don't do lawn, you know, or anything like that. And so a friend of mine called me to come do her hair, went to go do her hair. And she was like, "Ooh, you know, my brother-in-law is here from Belize." I'm like, "Really?" And then I saw him. I was like, "Oh, okay." You know, and then this chick came by to pick him up. I said, "Oh, see, he like white girls." I said, "Oh, see, listen. Okay. He need to meet me, you know." And she said, "Oh, yeah, he can meet you because he need to do y'all lawn because y'all live on a corner house and that grass need to be cut." I'm like, "Okay." So I called him. I couldn't understand nothing he was saying because of his accent. He speaks three different languages. And I'm like, what, you know?
I'm a nickname you, Stella. Go ahead, girl.
He finally came over and I was like, "Listen, you got to hurry up, walk through this yard, see what you got to do and tell me how much, you know, because I'm late to dinner, you know." And mind you, I have a boyfriend. I have a whole boyfriend. Right. Fast. And so I went to dinner. Yeah. I'm driving down the street. I called him back up. I was like, hey, you looked at my yard. You never said how much you're going to charge me. And then I said, as a matter of fact, what are you doing right now? He says, oh, nothing but sitting by the pool. I said, I'm going to swing and pick you up. I'm like, oh, he's like, okay. I didn't even know this guy. I picked him up. I took him to my best friend's house. And they met. And then we leave. My best friend called me. She said, hey, your friend dropped a joint. You know, people stereotype because a person has dreads and have a different accent.
He dropped a what?
He dropped a whole joint.
Oh, not the dentist.
But guess what?
Picked that up, didn't you?
No, he wasn't the one that dropped the joint. Okay. It was her daughter who dropped the joint. She found out her daughter was smoking weed.
Oh, Lord.
It was like a Moesha episode.
Long story short, we talked every day, all night in the car. We talked. And my boo would call me, what you doing? I'm just hanging out, blah, blah, blah. Mm. And he used to say,
she was sneaky Lincoln before sneaky really Lincoln was boyfriend. A thing.
I'm like, yeah, I got a boyfriend. I said, you got a problem with that? He was like, no. And then me and the boyfriend started having issues. And so I'm fussing, cussing, acting a fool. This dude took me out of my character, called police on me, all that stuff.
Oh, this is
and he will always tell me, that's not love.
And I didn't know it was going this direction.
You a non-English speaking person. How are you going to tell me what love is? You know, don't put your mouth on my dude. Okay. So I'm summing it up. I'm sitting at home. He came to my house unannounced. He gave me a piece of paper. I looked at the paper. I said, July 25th, 2009. I'm like, okay. Then he came the next day with a piece of paper, dropped it in a box. I'm like, colors, purple, gray, and white.
Oh, he is planning a
right.
There you go.
Romantical.
God told me I was his wife. And I never said yes. And I just told him, I said, 14 years, I still ain't said yes.
Oh.
But what I did, I went and I planned a wedding. I did it that way. And
so did y'all get married on that date with those colors?
Yes.
Oh, I love it. And I'm looking at that ring. I was like, said yes to something. Okay.
She said, I do. Maybe. Forever.
And I called everybody and said, I'm getting married. They were like, what? To who? Because you know what? I didn't take them to my family. I refused. Until I know. You don't take any dude to your family.
So she said, I'm not going to let you meet them until I'm for sure. But she was getting married.
That part.
You know what? That's one way.
Duly noted. You know,
hey, down the aisle. That's one way to get down the aisle.
I love it. And you've been going strong ever since.
Yes, we have.
We're going to get to that. We have one hiccup. We're going to get to that. All right.
So, yeah. Go ahead.
James, hey, boo. That's my boo with the big booty. Go ahead, girl. Hey.
We need to hear your story. What's up?
So, babe, you wanna do this? Or? Okay. So, me and Shannon, this is my wife. Going on 2 years. We've been married. We were together for quite a few years beforehand. I want to say...
like
16. 16, yeah. I was a hard head. You know what I'm saying? Chilling, running around, doing whatever. But me and her, we met... you know, we had a mutual friend, which she was actually dating him at the time. And so here we go.
You stole a man's girl?
No, don't do that. That's disrespectful.
I think that's poor.
I'm not a hater.
Typical in Portland. That's Portland pimping.
But you know, they broke up.
We broke up.
They broke up.
Got it.
And it was well after the fact. So,
like, you know, years.
I let it breathe. Okay. I let it breathe. Oh, but we were still tight, though.
You was eyeing her the whole time?
Yeah. Huh?
Was you eyeing her the whole time?
Nah, that's my style.
I didn't like him. That's the funny thing. Like, I really did not like James. Like, like, as a person.
She say that.
Like, not like...
But look where she at.
However. You know, so...
I didn't.
I mean, you know, so we stayed in contact. We stayed cool. Kind of got closer throughout the years. And then one time I just called her. It was the middle of the night. Like, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. It's like, where you at? She's like, I'm at my bro's house. So I'm going to come over. And I came over.
He did.
And, you know, we talked. And I was like, you know. And so the next night.
Hold on.
Nope.
She said pause. You ain't be accurate.
No.
You got to tell this story accurately.
I asked if you wanted to tell the story.
He did give you an opportunity.
He did give you the option.
An opportunity.
So now we give his recollection. Go ahead.
Now he's right.
You can finish? No, you can finish.
No, go ahead.
Oh, that was passive aggressive as hell. Go ahead. We're going to talk about that, too.
I came over and showed a bit of, what's the word I would use? Exhibitionism. Is that a word?
You exhibitioned her?
So I don't know, because that might have
I need a better
jail.
Explanation of what you mean by you exhibitioned.
No, I mean, like, you know, you know.
Not
you were assertive. I just showed motherfuckers what's up.
You were assertive.
So wait, hold on.
Hold on, wait.
Did you put your dick out? I'll show you what's up.
And that's what it was, friend.
I think what he's trying to say is basically what he said is
you butte and you big. Bipperly ain't dead. Chipperly ain't dead. Remember from, oh, y'all see Insecure, never mind. Bipperly ain't dead.
So started dealing with each other in that type of way.
Okay.
Kind of got closer and then boom, ended up dating, ups and downs. You know what I'm saying? A lot of shit going on, trying to find ourselves, but we kept a bond. The bond grew, we broke up, got back together, and from that point on, we kind of built it on what we had to the point to where it's like we're stronger than ever. So
okay.
I love it. That's so cute.
Now, is there anything that he omitted in that story that you feel you need to reiterate?
That was accurate.
It sounds accurate, but you were acting like he left something out.
No, because he didn't say it when he came over that night at 3 o'clock. We didn't do
that. At 3 o'clock?
I didn't say that. He cried.
He was trying to assert himself.
2:33 o'clock in the morning after the club.
That exhibitionism in there.
Okay.
James used to come through all the time on the late night, like after we would smoke and watch movies and chill. We was like good
exhibitionality.
2:33 though.
So then,
see, this is how you can tell they're married, because they argue whole marriage. See, they can argue about the details of a story that's happy. They can't even argue about happy stuff right here.
This is healthy.
I'm gonna tell my story real quick. So I had met my ex in college. We was a freshman event. It's called Dusk Till Dawn. So the event starts at dusk and it stops at dusk or dawn, whatever. So 6 o'clock in the evening when the party starts, it doesn't stop until 6 a.m. So me and my roommates, we all went to the party, it was in the gym, we're dancing all night long. It's a hot night, sweated out our perms, everything, right? Kicking it. We walking out, it's like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. We tired, we done, we like super like over it. So we walking out, this dude grabs my roommate and starts dancing with her. And I'm like, dog, man, we trying to go. Like, dang. So I'm standing there chilling. And there's this dude, he's dancing with another girl. And I'm like, man, I'm ready to go. He pushes her to the side and then comes over me and starts, you know, doing his little, and if y'all know my ex, he can't dance. So it was interesting. So we danced for a little bit and then the song was over. My friend was ready to go. I was about to go. Preface this, before we left our dormitory, I had told my friend, because I was kind of, I'm an asshole. My friends all know me, I'm an asshole. So I never get my number out. So they were like, you guys stop being an asshole, give your number out. I said, okay, cool. If someone asks you for my number, I'm going to give it out. No one asked me for my number all night long. I was cool. I was like, cool. I skated by, you know? He leans over and he was like, hey, you know I like big girls. I said, oh, okay, got it. That's what we're doing here. And then he asked me for my extension. And my friend looked at me and she was like, you said you was going to give a number out if they asked you for it. So we had extensions, you know, between dormitory rooms. So that's how we met. And 21 years later, we're divorced.
And I want to point out that your school sounds like the dance was romantic from, you know,
It was ratchet as fuck.
No, that's what I'm saying. But the premise was sunset to sunrise. Our dances were just called the sweat box.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that's probably why ain't nobody together now, because they was just sweating it out. They weren't trying to think it through.
I don't know, but we was sweating it out. It was a whole ratchet ass party. Yeah. I'll tell you that. And the good thing about, like, we went to HBCUs and it was cool because everybody from there is not from there. So you had all the Detroit guys dancing. You had all the Chicago people doing their footwork and stuff. You had all the down south people doing their little percolators and stuff. It was a good old time. But yeah, I got snatched up freshman year and it was, 21 years later. Okay. So that's what stages we're in. So I'm, divorced, single, married. So we got some different things. So we're going to ask some questions and curate some conversations. So go ahead, Nick B.
All right. So I'm curious, not only in the level of being single, but also prior to getting married, were you guys ever interested in someone checking your boxes? Were you box checkers or were you going strictly off of vibes and how you just genuinely connected with somebody?
I was a vibe person.
A vibe person?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't have, but we were young, you know what I'm saying? So I wasn't thinking like that. You know what I'm saying? Now, I mean, at 40, if I wasn't married, there would definitely be certain things for real. But not at 21, 22 years
old. Were you the same? More going off the vibes?
Yeah, I'd probably say more of a vibe. A box checker, nah. Okay. I mean, it's all about the moments with me. So how we feeling in the moment's going to dictate if I see you again.
Now, I already know, because you swung by the pool and picked up your man, so that was clearly a vibe.
Yeah, that was clearly a vibe.
You said you are the one.
Yes, at 46. I did say that.
Okay.
The vibe. Yep.
Okay. And Kev, are you a vibe man or a box checker?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think I'm a little bit of both.
Okay.
But I think most times it's vibes, I would say. Yeah. I think as I'm getting older, I like kind of have some qualities, like main qualities I'm looking for. Then if they don't meet those, then it's kind of like, yeah, no.
Because so if someone doesn't meet those main qualities before, like, are you, if you're vibing with them, but they don't meet those main qualities, then are they no longer an option for you?
Mm. Oh, that's a tough question.
Because that's the difference between vibe and box checking. Because I can think you're cute and I can want to go on a date with you, but at the same time, I'm also like, well, where are we going in this relationship? Can you get me there? And sometimes that comes with some boxes, some criteria. Yeah,
because if you work at Outback Steakhouse, then
listen, we're
Budweiser's.
Not going to keep talking about this man at Outback Steakhouse that wants to date me now.
Hey,
you getting free steaks?
No,
I understand what the problem is.
And the onion bloom.
I'm telling you, that's
and if you guys have had the mushrooms, they are
so
fire.
You blocking your blessings.
Okay, I'm not blocking my blessings. What I'm blocking is the man that I have to pay to get to work for.
Oh.
You know, because he drinks Budweiser's at 12 o'clock
at
in the afternoon.
Talking about top of the morning. No, it's afternoon. And he talked about what you've been doing. I've been at work since 7. Why are you just now getting up?
And why are you walking around downtown
with
DC
a bonnet.
With a bonnet on and a Budweiser?
It's giving judgmental.
And a hoodie.
And a zip up hoodie with no shirt.
He wanted to show me his tattoos on his chest.
He wanted to show you his titties.
he was not checking my boxes.
No, at all.
And it was, I did not vibe with those boxes that were not being checked. So. It was
that's
a no
crazy.
For me.
Locking your blessings.
Always.
And I'm going to say that because my husband, he came here at John Doe.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't even a citizen.
Yeah.
Okay, our first date, I'm not ashamed to say, was at Jack in the Box.
Okay.
He detailed cars. And he bought one meal.
Oh, did y'all just
he
share?
He gave me Jerry a meal, though. Yeah, we shared a meal. Aww. And so I went with the vibes because here's a man that loves and respects me.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was with a dude, disrespectful, slip with everybody, you know, didn't listen. Like I said, I mean, policeman called on me because I'm ready to fight. And, you know, all out of character, this other dude took me. But my husband, you know, when I did so, I was like, dang, he got a lot of ain't gods. So that was another reason why I didn't take him around my family either. Because my family
was
going to
convince you otherwise.
We have standards, you know. And so, but the vibe that he gave me to sit, to talk, to not judge me. I was chunkier. And
so he was filling your emotional cup.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, after he would detail a car and then charge people a lot of money, he gave all the money to me. Oh. And I'm like, I'm not. You
check in box.
Okay. That's a box I want to check. I'll hold on.
You know, and when he did ask
all
me
his
for money, you know. When he did ask me for money,
uh-huh.
I'm like, hey, I come with interest. So if I give you a 20, you got to at least drop me 50.
Wait, and this is the money he gave you that you're now loaning back to him with interest?
Yeah.
Okay. I need to take notes because I didn't know.
I need to bring Doris Hubman here. We need to tell his story. We need to tell his story.
That's how it is until this day of 14 years.
Did he know you were charging interest?
Yeah, oh, $20. But till this day, I know everything he make. He don't know. Honestly, he doesn't know what I make. He don't.
Oh, that's a good question, though.
When he gets paid, he brings it home to me.
That's a good question.
You know?
I'm gonna say this because Tish posted something online the other day about
right.
it being weird if people hide money from their partners.
So,
and I had an opinion.
Okay.
She has an opinion. But so share your opinion on hiding money from your partner.
I do not do that. If I have my own business, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? I also work a job. So if I do a pop-up event and I sell and he asked me how much money did I make at the, and he doesn't ask because he's like, well, let me get a percentage, but he might. No. But no, he just, you know, he just he's supportive. James is probably like the most supportive person that I've ever met. But like, he wants to know, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I tell him, I don't be like, oh, well, let me hide, you know, extra 100 or, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or if I come across money, he doesn't have to ask me, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I have money, my husband has money. That's just how we are, you know what I'm saying? It's not anything outside that. He goes and goes to the store and buy a lottery ticket and hit for $500, he gonna give me like $100 or $200. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't try to just
act like he didn't win that money.
Exactly.
Right.
Go do
what he wants. Right, right.
We don't do that.
So my opinion was that I hid money, but not in a malicious way. It was more of like a I'm preparing for emergency kind of way. Mm-hmm. And I also knew my husband's spending habits. So I had to make sure that I had something saved aside because he gonna blow all his money on barbecuing and fish tanks and shoes because this guy that told him how to buy tennis shoes. So I was like, let me make sure we have money aside in case we want to go on vacation or because we want to do something. So it was that intention. It wasn't because I was being malicious, being selfish, being greedy. But we do have friends mm-hmm. who was like, F you and you knowing about my money, that's mine. And I'm going to tell you, I made less than I made because I'm keeping most of
and
it.
See, and my profession,
I'm not going to give you none.
I believe in complete transparency. I'm like, just mm-hmm. because I have it doesn't mean I'm going to give it to you. But I don't have an issue but with you knowing you. What I have.
Right.
So yeah.
That part.
I'm with that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of float in the same boat as far as like, you know what I got. If I got it for you, I got it. If I don't, I don't.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't have no problem telling you no. Just like I ain't got a problem telling you, yeah. Mm. So, you know.
That part.
Same here. Uh-huh. I didn't mean to, like, I just control everything. But the dude, but he never wants interest. To. No, he never wants to know. And I thought it was kind of weird because I used to say, don't you want to know what I make, whatever? Nah, babe, I'm good. Yeah. You know, and he brings everything home to me. But if my husband needs, I'll buy all.
Oh, yeah.
If I have, he got it.
Right.
You know, sure. But absolutely. He doesn't yeah. ask me for anything.
Mm. Well, he let me don't. Ask you a question. Do you think that's more of like a cultural type of thing, like being like where he's from? Or you think that's just him, his makeup as a person? Obviously, he met a lot of people from Belize or whatever.
No, I haven't met a lot of people from Belize. So. You know, my aunt told me she believes it's a cultural thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I can see that. And then when his family came here for our wedding, mm-hmm. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he done got a little Americanized. he just always tell me. Because I try to give things to him. Here, here's my social security number. Here's this, here's that. Hey, I don't need that. Mm-hmm. I trust you.
Right.
And that's the big part. Mm-hmm. I got you. You tell me what you need. I got it. You know? Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay.
So, Kev. At what stage in dating do you share your financials? Or do you?
You know, to be honest, I don't think any woman I've ever dated, I've ever asked them like how much they made. I guess reason why is because I guess I don't really care. I guess I can assume how much someone makes by what they do. Like,
are you offended if they ask you?
You know, no woman I've ever dated has ever asked me either.
I think it's taboo. I think people are actually scared to have financial conversations. I mean, you kind of want to guess, be like, okay, you work this profession. I know approximately this job makes about that much.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes people are scared to be very direct and be like, what do you bring home?
But it is
what are you spending your money
on? It's an important conversation to have because if you get serious, you invest time and energy into a person and then you find that they are financially irresponsible or they have mm-hmm. a whole bunch of debt or they have things, they got 85 kids, they got child support that you didn't know about. You know, there's things that happen that are financial conversations that probably should happen that I think a lot of people don't have. And like they get into a situation where they're like, damn, I probably should have figured this out before I got attached, emotionally tied to this person.
That.
Yeah.
And I think that's my issue with the gentleman that you blocked on my phone today.
I blocked him, y'all. She was texting, hey, beautiful. Hey, beautiful. I said, well, give me your phone, girl. She was like, oh, don't say nothing that I wouldn't say. I said, don't worry. Block.
Right.
We ain't going to do this no more.
And that's a lot of that is based on what we know his income to be. I mean,
it's not about the
a lot
income.
Of that.
It was a lot about the Budweiser at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Talking about good morning.
But to follow up, I do want to know any woman that I'm dating, I do want to know their debt, right? Because mm-hmm. if you get married to them, mm-hmm. that's your debt, right? So like mm-hmm. if they got, you know, $85,000 in credit cards or student loans and all that stuff, you're going to be responsible for that.
They're going to call that joint tax return.
Yeah, okay. That joint. So those things,
Do matter. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, so you should definitely know that stuff. And they should know mine too. Yeah. That's the thing I'm checking out.
Okay, so what is something that is a must that you need to be happy with your partner or a person that you're potentially dating? Whoever wants to go first.
Kevin. What do you need to be happy with
I'm the only single person, so of course that question is
important. We say that too.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't answer first.
It's 3-3.
No, wait, repeat the question. You said, what is
So what is it something that is a must that you need to be happy with a partner?
They have to have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
definitely to deal with me.
If y'all follow his social media,
I'm on IG and I say a lot of this stuff for shock value. And if you know me, it's just talking shit. It's not serious. Like, it's not, you can't take what I'm saying literally. And you gotta, and I'm gonna talk some shit. That's just the way it goes. And you gotta be able to talk shit back. I'm from the Bay Area. The Bay Area, that's how like women talk, men talk. Like, they gonna talk some shit. And if you can't talk shit back and like let it roll off your chest and we just laugh and have fun, it's not gonna work.
Miss Doris, go ahead. We're just gonna go down the line.
For me, communication. That was really big with me because I'm talking about my husband, but he is so quiet. I mean, we're day and night. And he's just now after 14 years just starting to really open up and show himself. And I'd be like, oh, okay.
But not in the exhibitionist kind of way, right? Like James was doing.
No, but communication. Communication is really big. In the beginning of our marriage, it was a lack of, and that lack of caused some trouble. You know, I would cry because I was ready to fight him and he's just laid back, you know, nothing fazed him. And, you know, it's like, dude, talk to me. But he told me I was so mean. He didn't know how to, he didn't want to set it off. So he just.
He said he didn't want to have a little.
And I was
a little bit. Wait a minute, you made it seem like that dude was, the other dude was crazy because he called the police on you.
And so, now we know why.
I had to grow.
Yeah. To verify these details, we may have a follow up show.
That was with my ex.
Okay, a follow-up show, Miss Doris. The first 48.
She said she wanted to fight him.
But what about you two? What was a requirement?
Doris is a thug.
Okay, right.
I know, right? And she looks so happy and nice.
The kids, so are you. You said what? You a thug too, don't act.
Hold on, now. They crack me up, y'all. I'd be scared to come in the house if the kids is getting in trouble. I'd be like, oh shit, I'm in trouble too. I'd be ready to line up for my whooping. Like, hold on.
Straight up.
I would have to say, I mean, because we've been together for so long, it's probably honesty because there was so much dishonesty in the beginning. So it's like, definitely for me, like having those difficult conversations and just being like, we had a conversation before we got married. Like, even though we had been together for a long time, but just stuff that we probably lied to each other about back in the day.
Yeah.
Was just kind of like, before we get married, let me.
That's kind of dope. I like that. Like, get everything out on the table before you do it.
Yeah, let me.
Would you say your dishonesty in the beginning of your relationship attributes to being just younger and a maturity level versus where you are today? Or has that changed simply because of the bond that you've now forged with the years that you've had together?
I would probably say more or less like the bond. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have a desire to just really